Good morning, everyone, and welcome to those in Minnetonka and Woodside and those that are worshiping online. We're really glad that you're here today. And we're just in a really great time as a church. These are very exciting days for us. We have this phrase that we've been using around here with our team and even with our lay leaders that we're better together when we're in it together. We're not better together just because we're together, although I love being with you. We're better together when we're in it together. We get to be the church, and the thrust of this series relates to that. This series related to Pathways is really about finding a place of being in it together. These pathways really are leading us into two specific things, and we're trying to give energy to it as it relates to our 10-10-10 vision as well. First of all, it's to give us a pathway for spiritual growth. So these four words have been elevated, and we're unpacking them in each of these weeks: worship, belong, serve, and go. Worship, belong, serve, and go. Say it with me. Worship, belong, serve, and go. You're going to see these words everywhere for months and years to come. So last week, we opened up with Pastor Brian and Ben, who introduced the worship word and what that means in our DNA. And the simple definition of discipleship that they gave to us is being and living like Jesus. So we're trying to find a common language in which we can let God take and shape our lives, a place where we can belong and a place where we can become all that he has for us. But secondly, these words are going to help us connect more simply. It's to give us a clearer path. It's a compass to community. We've been getting feedback for a number of years that Westwood is large enough that it can be challenging to know how to navigate. How do you enter into this community of faith? We felt we need to simplify that. And so these four words are being used to help us in terms of assimilating people into our community in a different kind of way. These are like new on-ramps for us. And so you'll see the words in a brochure that we call Welcome Next Steps. And these are available at the exits to our worship centers at each of our venues, and it outlines each of the words and opportunities to engage and be involved. You'll see it in the new Volume 1 outline. The whole outline is related to those four words so that all of the ministries fall under those four words with invitations for you to take next steps of growth. So you're just going to see the words all over the place because of where we are in the timing of the 10-10-10 vision. For those who are guests, last February or March, we initiated a new 10-year vision. I don't have time to unpack all of that 10 for us. We'll be doing that in a couple of weeks. But we're 6 months into it, and we're just weeks away really from launching the next multi-site for Westwood, Bush Lake in Bloomington. And so we're excited about what's ahead, and we have a date that's out there. It's been pretty fluid. It's impacted our teaching calendar. We've changed our teaching calendar four times this fall and decided, oh, we're just going to land on it. It is what it is. When we get in, we get in. And we've been impacted a little bit by the tariffs. Everybody paying attention to the tariffs. They aren't even fully in force yet, but that's impacting everybody because we need a steel beam to finish the build out at Bush Lake. And the tariffs, everybody who needs a steel beam decided to order so that we wouldn't be competing with China. So we are in a holding pattern on a steel beam. So if God can move a mountain, he can move a steel beam. So would you join me in praying for a steel beam to come so that we can have it in by Thanksgiving, or that's the weekend we're looking at right now, November 25th. And we hope you will consider being part of that initiative. We're very excited about it. Well, today I am going to be speaking about the word belong. And I'm going to outline it this way: the longing to belonging. I want to talk about the meaning of belong, and then what it means to choose to belong. You with me in this? Take out your teaching notes. You can follow along if you're so inclined. Well, the longing to belong is something that we all desire. In fact, we seek it out, sometimes in unusual places. I just completed reading a little book by V.J. Smith called The Richest Man in Town. V.J. Smith is an alumni director at SDSU, South Dakota State University in Brookings, South Dakota. And it's in that town that he met Marty, who was a cashier at Walmart, whom he identifies as the richest man in the world. And he would watch what would happen as he went to Walmart. And we would find that Marty would have people eight deep in his line coming through when other cashiers had nobody. And some of those cashiers, I think, feeling a little less than, would come over and say, I've got room in my lane. Now, for me, I would jump over to that lane immediately. But people would say, no, that's fine. We like this lane. and they'd stay in the lane. So Smith decided to just observe this as a social experiment, what was happening. Marty would ask questions of people who came through his line. He would inquire about their lives and converse with them. And then once the goods were all rung up, he'd step outside of the register and come back to the side where the customer was. And he'd shake their hand and look them in the eye and thank them for coming and then bless them. One woman brought her two boys, and those boys always want to be in Marty's line because he'd reach down to hug them. Powerful thing to see this thing unfold. So he ends up moving into this, people wanting to be in Marty's line. They decided to start tracking it. 220 people on average a day went through his line. Tenfold what they put through other people's lines along the way. Smith got to know Marty really well, and the three lessons that Marty lived by. Number one, relationships are most important in life. So treat all people with respect, no matter what they look like or how much they spend. His second was, try to do a little more than what's expected. And his third lesson of life is happiness is a choice. That is, only you can make you happy. So choose happiness. When he died just recently, Walmart put his cash register into lane number 9. And they put balloons and pictures and flowers on it and a big blank board for people to write notes. And one woman wrote this on that board. She wrote the words, "No one was a stranger, merely a friend in waiting." Marty made people feel like they belong. They waited in line for that experience. We will seek out this need that is in us to belong. Brené Brown, who is author, scholar, sociologist, has spent years studying belonging. She's probably known as our national leader in understanding the dynamics of belonging. Her TED Talks, by the way, are the leading TED Talks of all that are viewed and watched. I encourage you to take a look at them. And she says, belonging is more than a desire, that it's a deep, irreducible need that we have. That humans are biologically, cognitively, physically and spiritually wired up to belong, she says, to love and to be loved. She says, but beginning or belonging is not easy. It takes effort. That belonging is not the same as simply showing up or signing up, she says. It's the innate human need to be part of something larger than ourselves. And it comes deep within. And that yearning is so primal that we often try to acquire it by fitting in or trying to seek approval from other people, which are not the same thing as belonging. And so she distinguishes between fitting and belonging. And this trying to fit in actually erodes what belonging is best and most about. And she distinguishes the two this way. If I get to be me, I belong. If I have to be like you, I'm fitting in. Belonging, she says, is being somewhere where you want to be and they want you there. But fitting in is being somewhere where you want to be, but they don't care either way if you're there. And she says, belonging is being accepted for who you are, and fitting in is being accepted for being like everyone else. What I find interesting about her research is that it affirms what God has already revealed in the scriptures, that God made us as a people to belong to him first and foremost, and in so doing, then to belong to each other. The desire to belong, in one sense, is this desire to be chosen. Listen to the words of Ephesians 1:4. For he chose us in him, that is Christ, before the creation of the world. So rich. Friends, you were chosen before you were breathing. No, we battle over this issue of belonging when in fact we've been chosen long before we even came into the world. You've heard me say this dozens of times that we get these GPs, these God promptings, hundreds if not thousands of them from the time we're little boys and girls. We get these nudges of God. It is a pursuit of us. It's his communication that we belong to him, but we don't always choose him. But he's always pursuing us with this desire that we would. That belonging is this desire to be chosen, yes, by him, but also to be selected by someone in a special relationship. In fact, this longing starts when we're small, and it's usually satisfied by parents who let us know that they're really glad that we're in this world. And I would do that with my children hundreds of times. I would say to my kids when they were little, usually before they went to bed, if I could line up all the children in the world, I would choose you to be mine. I'd say that to my kids all the time. I wanted them to have a message in their head that they were chosen. And I have a gift to help raise them up in this world. I want them to embrace that mindset, because this is what God does for us. He chooses us. He chooses you. And it's a wonderful experience to be chosen. It makes you feel special and valued. It makes you feel accepted. And then something happens. You start to see yourself that way. It impacts your decisions and how you live your life. And it can be a very hard thing to not feel chosen. And that happens for many. It can distort our beliefs about ourselves. In fact, we can actually miss how God sees us and how he comes to us. And most of us have been on both sides of that equation. No, the longing to belong is the desire to be chosen and included in community. There's a Hebrew word or Hebrew phrase for this called kehila kedosha. I've spoken it about a little bit here or there over the last 10 years. I was first introduced to it through Mitch Oblom's book called Have a Little Faith. And in that book, he received an invitation to give the eulogy at his childhood synagogue for the rabbi who was dealing with cancer. And his rabbi called him and said, would you come and do the eulogy? He hadn't been back for decades to his synagogue of youth. And so he said, well, how about if we get acquainted? And getting acquainted with the rabbi again, he learned something. The rabbi spoke about the deepest loss that he experienced in his life was the loss of Kehila Kedosha. As people moved out into the suburban communities in New York, they left the synagogue with a handful of people, and he just desperately missed Kehila Kedosha, which means sacred community. It's about the divine presence experienced through the gathering of people. When I think about that journey, that there are in Kehila Kedosha almost concentric circles, that you have Kehila Kedosha like Jesus did with three, very intimate. Peter, James, and John were the inner circle. But then there were the 12, and then there were the crowds. And we have the same. We have people in our life that are part of our Kehila Kedosha, our sacred community, where we just treasure those friendships, that we will know that they'll be with us, that we belong together, that if we fail, they'll help pick us up. And then we have broader circles of it. And that's the same in the church. We have smaller circles, and then we have concentric circles, and we have the church as a whole. We are Kehila Kedosha together is the picture that you have. God's divine design of being together in community, that we're with each other and for each other as God is with us and for us. And the experience is palpable, it's compelling. So the question is, what specifically is this meaning of belong? I want to give you four expressions that really have been with us for quite some time. We're just bringing them back to the surface and anchoring them in to say, this is what God has in mind for us. This is what we hope for us as we move into this 10-year vision for today and in the years to come. First of all, it is to know and be known. First, we desire to know God and then to be known by him. But also, we desire to be known by someone else and for us to know them and for them to know us. John speaks about it beautifully in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's paving this way of knowing the Father so the Father can be known even for us. And that means that he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. And this is the good news. He doesn't wait for us to get our act together. Sometimes we think, oh, we couldn't come into the experience with God because why would he want anything to do with me? But he meets us right where we're at. Isn't this a good God, a God of mercy and grace? He meets us where we are, and he takes us to the place he wants us to become. What a gift this is. You can see in this passage the costliness of his love. He says, I laid down my life for the sheep, that his love is so strong for us that he's willing to give up his life for us. Not just the conveniences. We do that. We'll give up some conveniences in our love for others. No, he gives up his life. He offers the fullness of his life through the most horrible suffering on the cross because he wants us to take note of the extent in his long suffering of his love for us. He wants us to know that we belong. And we want to know someone and be known by someone in personal relationships as well, but we hesitate. All of us long for this deep, intimate relationship with somebody, but quite honestly, we're a little like this. We want people to come close, but we hold back a little because we're afraid of being rejected or hurt along the way. But the desire is so deep within us. He wants us to be known. We want to be able to say to people, you know, will you like me? Will you hang with me? Will you help me? Will you stay with me? That's so important. And yeah, we disappoint along the way, but in the vision that God has in this Kehillah Kedoshah community, we do disappoint, but we enter knowing God's desire that he is with us and for us, and that he will pave the way for us to be with each other and for each other as well. Let me give you just a little illustration of this power of knowing and what it means and even what's happening around here. Some of these weeks, I'm trying to get into some of our other spaces and places because I'm trying to gain the pulse of where we are as we go into the 10-year vision. I'm heading over to Minnetonka soon. I was in Woodside last week, and then I spent a whole morning on a Sunday when I wasn't preaching down in our children's ministry area. And John Diddy, our children's pastor, was my host, and he's showing me the spaces. And if you're paying any attention, we have new design that's going here in our places in Chanhassen for children's ministry and student ministry in Minnetonka. It's already taken place. It's going over to Bush Lake as well. That design in terms of architecture is important. It creates continuity and unity along the way. But what's most important is the design of what our ministry is and what's happening. And John Diddy was a wonderful host. And it was fun just to hang with him as he introduced me to teachers and to kids. And I got to see the space and how it works and what it looks like on a given Sunday. It was just absolutely terrific. But I hit his nerve by saying something. I do this often with people. I don't try to. I just wanted to ask a question. It was a simple question. I didn't mean anything by it. I just put out a simple little question for him. I said, what is the ratio? Do we have good ratio of adults to kids? That seems like a good question. And his response is, what kind of took me back a little bit. He says, we're not interested in ratios. And I go, oh, okay. He says, ratios are simply standards of safety that's required of adults to the number of kids. We go beyond ratios because we want kids to be known. Isn't that good? I go, I want my kids in this ministry. He says, we put all of our kids into small groups so that they see consistent leaders and familiar faces that they're known and prayed for and cared for and loved. It impacts their spiritual journey to have that continuity of faces. I was drawn to that picture. And I said, well, how are your ratios in terms of your standards then? And he goes, we're doing great, but we are growing and we could use more adults who would like to know kids and care for kids and love on kids. I just put that as a seed. I'm ready to volunteer. If I didn't have this responsibility, I think I would be down there. I just thought, what a beautiful picture it is to know. Secondly, to belong means to know and to be known, but also to love and to be loved. I love it when the modern day research proves God's right again, as in the case with Brené Brown's research, where she literally talked about the core of belonging and the primal need is to love and to be loved. Well, that comes right from the scriptures. Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's really an instructional call for us in how we love, with an emphasis on the word all, which already makes us feel a little small. How many of you just love with heart, soul, mind, and strength all of the time with all of those things? Raise your hand. Yeah, I see in Minnetonka, nobody's raising their hand here. Nobody's. We fall short of that. We have this directional instruction here because this isn't about our capacity. See, we make it about us. It's about God's capacity in and through us. So as we receive his love, our capacity to love him with all our soul, mind, and strength actually starts to become a greater reality. And we have a journey in our lifetime to move in that given direction. You've heard me say it. If we can only get the love thing right, there's no end to what we could be or do for God's glory. We're just not getting it right on our own strength. We need his capacity to increase our capacity, and then we learn right ways and full ways and all ways to love him. We can see the depth of Christ's love for us and the lavish benefits that he gifts us with. And top of the list has to be 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, the rest of the text says. We are children. I would call that being included. I'm a child of the living God, and you are too. There is no deeper sense of belonging or being included than that. As I grew up in my teen years, people would say to me, Joel, you look just like your dad. And as I got older and he got older, they'd say, you look just like your dad. And I go, well, maybe I don't want to look like my dad all the time. But I knew the gist of what they were saying, and it's what I think is here for us, that God loved us so much that he doesn't just forgive us. He doesn't just save us so that we have a home in eternity. No, there's a power in the now. He causes by his Spirit. He penetrates our soul by the Spirit so that we would be born again as his children, that we would be the children of the living God. And in so doing, he gives us something of his own character so that we have a family likeness to the Father as is revealed in Jesus. And people look at us and you look like somebody I know. And it's the internal knowledge of love that God has revealed in us, that we get to be his children. And when we live that way, there's just this compelling likeness that people see in us. And then third, to belong means to know and to be known, to love and to be loved, and then to serve and to be served. In Matthew 20, we read these words, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That when we serve, as we've been served, then Christ awakens a joy within us that is just a contagion. Now, you know the four words because you said them earlier. Worship, belong, serve, and go. Next week is serve, so I'll hold my teaching on that for next week. The fourth expression is what it means to belong, and that is to celebrate and be celebrated. Wow. When I sit in the scriptures, I see a God who celebrates. Remember the story of the prodigal son, the two sons from this dad? One dishonors the father. He takes the inheritance early. He goes and squanders it with gambling, prostitutes. He just lives a very loose life. And in despair, when everything is gone, he has nothing left. He has this awakening about his dad. And he said, I'm not so sure, but I'm going to go home. He makes his way home, and he's hoping that his father would let him work back on the ranch, you know, in the lowliest of positions. Not that he's expecting it. He certainly doesn't deserve it. But before he even has a chance to build the case, the father sees him, remember, and he comes up and he rushes toward him and he hugs him with joy and with celebration. And the other son, the good son who stayed home, who had been working responsibly, and now he's totally annoyed and angry. And the father speaks to the son in Luke 15 with these beautiful words. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. You're not losing anything here, he's saying. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And Jesus is telling us that God is like the Father here, that however low we've sunk on the desirability chart, that God rushes out to meet us where we are when we come home. And we don't even have to build the case. He just meets us and loves us because he celebrates life and he celebrates us. How important is that? Because when we think of God, our first impression of him is that he's a judging God, that he's an angry God. How about if we think of him as a celebrating God, that he's celebrating us? It would change our worldview. It would set us free in a liberation of self, of shame and guilt to be all that God wants us to be. We'd have new energy to want to be with him and to walk with him. And when you read the biblical narrative, the Bible's just full of stories of celebrating. In fact, even today, the Jewish people have seven festivals they celebrate every given year. And some are religious and cultural, some are national, and some are very personal, like births and bar mitzvahs and Shabbat. They're weekly, they're daily kinds of celebration is in the core of what it means to be part of the Kehila Kadosha. Belonging means celebrating. That we celebrate God and we celebrate each other and we find creative ways to do that with each other. And it brings lift to our sense of identity with each other. We do it at home and we do it collectively as the church. Carrie had a birthday in September, and I wanted to celebrate her in so many different ways. So I wanted so desperately to buy her a big green egg. But then I realized that might have been a selfish gift. It was less about her and my desire to grill on a big green. I've grilled on a couple of them. My friends, I really like them, but I go, man, they're expensive. And I go, oh, what would she really like? And I bought her a turntable, a record turntable. And I went down into our closet and found our college albums when we were dating that have not been pulled out for 30 years. And I pulled them out and I gave her the turntable, and we spent a whole evening and the next day playing tunes of celebration of our journey together. It's so important to celebrate. Belonging means we celebrate God and each other in compelling ways because we're better together, friends. We're better together, not just because we're together. We're better together when we're in it together, celebrating together. That's what God envisions for us. And so I invite you to choose to belong because there's an element of you choosing. And there's so many different ways we get to do that. Let me just give you two simple ones, a couple of ways that we get to be together. First of all, consider joining a small group. And we want to make this as easy as possible for you because we want you to experience Kehila Kadosha, this divine design of sacred community that we have with each other where two or three are gathered. And so we encourage people to get into groups. And how might you do that? Well, you might want to attend Group Connect. It's actually happening next Saturday, and got a little bit of a video of invitation that you might consider if you're currently not in a small group. Would you tune in?
Maybe some of you have been attending Westwood for a while, and you're wondering to yourself, what's my next step to grow in faith? Or where's my place? Or even how do I connect with others? Well, we want to help you in that pursuit by inviting you to Group Connect. At Group Connect, you'll have the chance to meet other people who are like you to form brand new small groups. It's a low-stress, welcoming environment that's engaging. It lasts for 2.5 hours long, and it includes fun, laughter, a chance to get to know one another through prayer and discussion, and also the opportunity to see what a typical small group gathering looks like. Best of all though, food is provided and we'll watch your kiddos. New this year is the Better Together Box. It's a fun and easy way to help new groups get off to a great start. We provide a leader guide, videos, discussion questions, story cards, and even a bag of popcorn to make sure you have snacks. So when you register online, you'll have a chance to note what type of small group you're looking for. Then simply show up. We'll take care of the rest. We look forward to seeing you at Group Connect.
You think the most important thing are snacks and taking care of your kiddos. But it's really the Kehila Kadosha of connecting those concentric circles, a small group. We just invite you into it. The other is, I want to encourage you to choose to belong as a member of Westwood. I don't say a whole lot about this. People say, Joel, say more. And I just welcome whoever comes whenever they come. But yeah, I want to invite you to become a member. Some of you are regular attenders. You act like members in every way. You just haven't formalized the process. You may not even know that you're not a member. Well, you may not be. Ephesians 2 speaks about the power of our connectedness. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Wow. The things the scripture reveals are something to behold. He's saying that we're family. We belong to each other in Jesus Christ as family. That the Bible knows nothing about solitary saints. And so when I hear someone say, I love Jesus, but I'm not so excited about the church, it just stabs me because the church isn't mine or ours, it's Christ's. He gave birth to it. We are his church. And the Bible says we are joined together and built together, that we are heirs together and held together, that we are going to be caught up together in that day when he returns, that my relationship with God is, yes, personal, but it was never intended to be private. It is intended to be connected together. I want to invite you to become a member of the church because your yes Yes, it matters to our teams in terms of how we mobilize people in serving. It matters to me personally when you say, hey, count me in, I'm here. But it matters most to Jesus that you recognize the beauty and the significance of the church. Jesus loves the church and he delights when we choose to belong to the local family. And in a day where we have revolving doors of people going in and out, it's so important that we say yes to be part of the church. You can count on me to give my time, talent, and treasure to the purposes of God in the family of Christ. And that's why we come to this table. We come to remember who God is and the love that he offers to us in Jesus Christ so that we would never forget that we belong. We belong. We belong. And when I hold the bread and I hold the cup in my hand, every time we come to this experience, it's palpable for me. I can almost hear the voice of the Lord, not audibly, but experientially say, Joel, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm watching over you. I'm going to use you. And I'm going to celebrate you. And I pray that that's your journey. Romans 1:6 says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Wow. So clear. You know, we used to find our identity being Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals. But the scripture says nothing about that. And you are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus. And if you say, yes, I belong to Jesus, you come to this table and just give thanks and celebrate God. And if you say, I don't know that I belong to Jesus, then I encourage you to receive him as Savior and Lord and come to this table. Confess your sins before the God who is choosing you. May you choose him. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, so much of life is about this desire and delight of belonging and the disappointments, even devastation of not belonging. From the day we offered our first cry as newborns, our deep longing for attention, attachment, and affection have been seen. We were born into families, and our quest to find our place of belonging in our family has been a source of incredible joy for many of us and multiple heartbreaks for others. And then among our earliest friendships in school, in sports, in art, in play, in romance, and career, wanting to belong and always has always been a constant theme, always hovering, sometimes haunting, and many times helping us experience the kinds of deep connections and community for which we were made. And yet the belonging of all belongings is only experienced in relationship with you, Jesus. So thank you for calling us to belong to Jesus Christ. Indeed, our greatest experiences of belonging are only a scent and symbol of the joys of belonging to you, Jesus. And our most devastating experiences of not belonging find their healing and their liberation in belonging to you. Called. Called to belong. Not merely invited, but subpoenaed into the eternal life of being wanted, desired, known, loved, celebrated, enjoyed by the God who has created us. Called to belong. Connected like a new bride. Lord Jesus, you have purchased us with the price of your life. And your love for us alone is better than life. We belong now and forever to you. So help me and help us to come more fully alive to our belongingness in you, Jesus. So very amen, we pray. Very amen in your name.